Hey, this is Matt Koonsman from the East Slurry Podcast. You're listening to Big Foamy Head with Rick and Dick. Sit back, grab a beer, and enjoy.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, and we're on a trip straight to Funky Town with our beers that we're sampling here. Not sure how we say it.
Goose.
We've got all the French, Belgian, and redneck pronunciations of same.
Hey, man, if it's goose for you, it's good for me.
It's goods for you. We're going to get our goose on. And Rick sent these. Goose Gérardin.
1882. That's a long time ago.
That's a hell of a long time ago. And judging by the amount of funk collected in the neck of this bottle, that was the born-on date. So, I mean, we both are looking at this like, damn. It's like, is this the offshoot, or should I drink that? And you know, they've been drinking like regular beer. They hadn't gone and drank something really vile and nasty. So I guess we're stepping up.
Yeah.
But
right. So what makes this vile and nasty is it's got visible funk at the top of the bottle.
Yeah,
on the inside,
right underneath the cork. So
we're gonna drink it.
We're scared.
So you don't have to. Oh yeah!
There it goes. Look at there.
That was the coast to coast pop.
I was attacked by a cork.
Like bounce off your walls.
Yeah, sounded like it put your eye out.
Okay, so we're gonna let it decant for a minute,
about 30 seconds.
And Rick, you got the description of what a goose is.
Ooh, I did. Give me a second. It's category 17 of the BJCP. No, it isn't.
It is 17E. I'm looking at it. Okay. It says, goose is traditionally produced by mixing 1, 2, and 3-year-old lambic. Young lambic contains fermentable sugars, while old lambic has the characteristic wild taste of the Sin River Valley. That's the first time I've ever heard there's a characteristic to that particular part.
Hmm.
A good goose is not the most pungent, but possesses a full and tantalizing bouquet, a sharp aroma, and a soft, velvety flavor. Lambic is served uncarbonated, while goose is served effervescent. And I got this. Can you smell that?
Yeah, I smelled it when you opened it.
I mean, it's like we got the bottle sitting in the middle of the table. We didn't even pour it yet, and it's like it smells
fruity.
Pretty good. Yeah, fruity.
Real fruity.
All right,
got an overall impression, complex, pleasantly sour, acidic, balanced, pale, wheat-based ale fermented in by a variety of Belgian microbiota.
Now, we're pouring ours now, and the funk is not washing off. So,
no, it's good funk.
Okay, and it is definitely effervescent. Got about an inch head. Mine's a little cloudy. I think yours is a little clearer. No?
Just a little shy of copper.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Oh, look at all the bubbles. God, it's just effervescent as hell.
And the nose on this thing, now we're drinking them out of red wine glasses, so it funnels the nose up a little bit.
Ooh, it
smells great.
Yeah, it's got a smell.
Taste it, guys.
And you know, I'm getting some of that goaty aroma.
Right, the horse blanket, horse sweat.
Woo!
Salty acidic.
Woo! Pucker!
Whoa, man.
See, I like this sort of thing. This is one of those could...
Fucci Capesta.
It'll make you pucker up. My ear's starting to hurt from a jaw swinging around.
Mm.
Wow. That's good. Very nice. I like
this.
Man,
I was not ready for this one at all. Oh, wow.
The bottle's a lot of fun. It's a spontaneous thing. 100% oud lambic.
It does.
And then fermentation spontanee.
Yeah, you know what that means. Spontaneous fermentation.
Oud lambic.
Now, you know, Rick, your reading on the left side is Flemish and on the right is French.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you're reading the same thing.
Okay.
So what that means is spontaneous fermentation, 100% vieux lambic, old lambic. Is what it means.
Okay.
Yeah, all that high school French is paying off. I can read beer bottles.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is I'm liking this. This is very nice. It's definitely not for the timid. It is very puckery beer.
Very small bubbles.
Yeah.
White, puffy, pillowy type head.
It has got a lot of bubbles. I mean, mine is just effervescing like
It's still
crazy.
Bubbling. It's just a gazillion of them.
Yeah. It's not doing like the lacing on it's pretty concentrated. It all slides down. It doesn't.
Real little bitty bubbles.
Yeah. Real little bubbles, but it doesn't like cling like some of the Belgian.
Put some in your mouth and just kind of hold it in your mouth, and it just. Woo, mama.
I like this. This is very good. And we've got a bunch of these in the beer cooler. We're only doing two tonight, but we got a bunch. So we got to like drag the geese out for several shows.
What's the alcohol content on these?
I don't know. Did you look, Rick?
Do
you know what this one
not.
Is? Okay. So we'll have to look that up. But I don't think it'd be that much because it's, the lambic.
Yeah, it's on the back. It's 5% alcohol by volume.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's not bad at all.
Store laying down and serve between 50 to 58 degrees Fahrenheit. Beer under pressure, handle, and open carefully.
I like it. And this is not as goaty as I was afraid. And you know, that's what it says on here, a moderately sour acidic aroma. And the aroma was kind of earthy, goaty hay. I did get a little funk off of it. But it says the big thing about this is the balance and that the goose masters, that's their whole deal. The blend is what
they
makes
blend,
it, right?
Right?
So this is a true blended beer.
Very I love the fact it says it's made from Saccharomyces, Brettanomyces, Pediococcus, and Lactobacillus.
I think that's what some of that's crowding around the neck of this bottle.
I'm going to wake up with a damn flu in the morning.
No, this
it's got four funky things.
This will cure you, man. Stick your tongue down the neck of that bottle, man. That's pure penicillin right there. It's like mainlining penicillin.
Chock full of vitamin B12.
Going to give me something that Ajax won't take off.
It'll cure whatever you got. So, Rick, what's new? What have you been doing out there in the promised land?
I've been keeping pretty busy. I've done a beer food pairing with Avery Brewing Company for Valentine's Day. That was a lot of fun. The wife liked it, too, so that's even better.
Bonus.
And then I was a busboy for a mead competition.
Good. Your way up in the world, are you?
Yeah. I walked away with a ton of commercial meads. It was the International Commercial Mead Competition and the Home Mead Makers Competition held February 8th and 9th in Boulder, Colorado. And they had a call for stewards, and I had never volunteered to steward a competition before, so I did, and it was a hell of a lot of fun.
And you had to work a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah. We were schlepping glasses back and forth, dirty glasses and emptying spit buckets. That was the nasty part.
but wasn't it all you could drink from the spit bucket, though?
It was indeed. You can have that spit if you want.
Where do I sign up?
While the judges were judging, they only needed a few ounces out of the bottle. So, the stewards are all back there slugging away on the bottles. It's an employer's worst nightmare, having all the kitchen help getting drunk on the product. But
yeah. So you told me, though, how many different meads were in this competition?
Wow, there's like 140 commercial meads, and each commercial brewer, or then mead maker, they're not brewers, provided four bottles. So 4 times 140 is how many we had the first day.
560.
And then the homebrew competition, there were 189 entries and at least two bottles per entrant.
Wow. And now what was, because mead is not a low alcohol beer. I mean,
it's
or
not beer at all. It's
right, a brew. Yeah, the
honey.
Fermented honey.
Right.
What is the average alcohol by volume?
Yeah. good.
Good. It's on up there. Now,
I'm such
like
a mead noob, I don't know a damn thing.
No, it's on up there. I know. I'm basing everything on the mead show we did, over a year, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I got
ago.
To taste that mead again.
Yeah, the Polish
mead.
Polish mead. Yeah.
You know, they had
tasted a lot better this time.
They had four at Frugal McDougal in Nashville, and two of them were called a honey wine, and then two of them were called a mead. Is honey wine a pretty
I think
good?
That's just kind of dumbing it
that's
down.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, okay. It is. That's exactly. It's fermented honey, mm-hmm. right? I mean, this is mead is supposedly one of the oldest beverages.
Yeah, well, they claim the oldest, although, you know, I'm sure that the beer industry could probably make a similar claim.
Well, it's old as bees. Yeah. So,
right.
You know, which came first, bees or barley?
And so there's a really good presentation. They were talking about colony collapse and things like that, you know, because there's this whole thing about, you know, are the bees going away? And what's happening is the commercial farmers, these big industrial farmers, they haul in like a whole truckload full of bees, and then they let them all pollinate one crop, you know. And then they box them all up, smoke them, and then take them off to another site. And it's really distressful for the bees. So an entire colony will collapse at once.
Like, you know, bees will just get too bummed out to squirt out honey? Or
you said they smoke them. How do they keep them lit?
Yeah, and they probably get their lips stung a bunch, too, don't they?
Now, this is kind of a serious problem. I mean,
take
colony
a hit off of this
bee.
I kind of compare it to the hop shortage, you know, like...
You can make more bees.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. The colony collapse. That means, like,
they die?
They die?
The whole colony dies.
Yeah.
Boom. They're
just
dead.
Boom. Okay.
They dead.
Does it have to do with the queen bee?
Well, I'm sure it does. I mean, there's a lot of debate on why this is happening. One of the things was was a single type of pollen. You know, so there's not a lot of diversity as far as their food supply goes.
Yeah.
And then there's a new type of mite that's coming in because they're killing all of our local bees, so they're importing them from Australia. Well, the Australian bees have mites, so the mites are invading the colonies and they're killing them off.
I thought the mites were little red things that grows on chicken asses.
Yeah, and apparently bee asses,
bees
at
bee asses
that's
too.
That's a little bitty mite.
That's a bitty, bitty, itty bitty mite. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
I've read a lot about the honey. It got me interested. I had a colony build a hive in my wall.
Oh, okay.
I actually watched them.
You did not actively participate.
No, I watched those suckers come out of the woods in a cloud of bees and went in a little hole about the size of a pencil.
Yeah.
And between my brick and my siding.
Yeah.
And then you could put your ear up to the wall on the inside of the
hear
house
them
and hear them buzzing.
Yeah.
And, man, it sounded like a jet airplane in there. But anyway, I did a lot of study on the Internet, and they did say that they're having a lot of problems keeping them alive.
Okay, here's what I want to have. Killer bee mead.
I bet you can find it.
I bet you can.
Yeah.
All right, so this is time for a good musical segue for our special guest. A couple of shows back, you might recall, we kind of got hung up on the Hot Monkey Love. And we said, wow, what a cool name for a band. I wonder. And what do you know? There is. And they are a fantastic band. This is Hot Monkey Love. I'm a King Bee.
Around your hive. Said I'm a king bee, baby. I come buzz around your hive. Yeah, I can make good honey, baby. Won't you please come inside. Say I'm a king bee. I want you to be my queen. Say I'm a king bee. Yeah. I want you to be my queen. Together we can
So that was...
I could have put your eye.
That's what she said. Hot Monkey Love. I'm a King Bee, and Rick almost had his eye put out by our next beer. Mead the Giz. And maybe we ought to do our pronunciation. So here's here's the audio file. Here's how we say it.
Giz.
And here's how the Belgian say it.
Yes.
And just for fun, here's how the French say it.
Excuse it.
Okay, enough of them. All right, so I'm opening Mead the Giz.
Watch that fluorescent light.
I'm watching it. All right, here we go. Maximum corkage. All right. I've released the safety cage. Go! Oh, damn! I think it did. It just like I got near it and shot off. Man, you weren't kidding, Rick. That thing, it would have taken off by itself. If we hadn't had that safety cage on there, that would have been it.
It was just sitting on my table and it went off by itself.
So. Hey, one of the guys on the Global Beer Tribe Network, he's on one of his little signatures that he always posts. It says something like, drinking a good beer is like making love to a porn star. You never know when it's going to climax or something like that. And that's what that reminded me of. You never know when it's going to shoot.
Well, it certainly did. You got residue in yours.
Not anymore.
Okay. All right. So now we're pouring Mead the Giz.
And this is from Hansen's Artisanal since 1896. Brewed and bottled by the Hansen's Artisanal Dwarp, Belgium.
Is it artisanal or artisanal?
Artisanal.
This one doesn't smell as good as the other one.
Mead produced by Lergershall, Petworth, West Sussex, United Kingdom. Imported by B United International, Reading, Connecticut.
Yep. And so what is this, a blend? It says 70% malt beverage and 30% mead. So this is taking the blended lambic and blending it further with mead. Well, it's got some interesting foam. It's kind of got an Alka-Seltzer action going on.
Yeah, pure white foam.
But I'm looking at the bubbles, and it's not like the pillowy head. It's got big bubbles mixed in with little bubbles. The color is significantly lighter. It's a I don't know, about a 45-year-old male with looks slightly dehydrated. We have a concentrated color in. No, it's like a dark gold.
You would be comparing it to the urinage.
I was thinking, yeah. I saw this morning, but before I had a glass of water. No, this in man though. Look at the bubbles though. This is even more effort. It looked like somebody dropped Alka-Seltzer in it. Now Mike thought it smelled different, and I got a little odor of foot when I smelled.
Wait till you taste it.
Tastes like feet, okay. But it's like effervescent feet.
Yeah, if that's a good thing.
I'm loving all over it. It's perfect for me.
What'd you think? Have you tasted it?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that jumps into my head is musty.
Yeah, I'm getting a hell of a licorice kick too. You getting any licorice out of that?
No licorice.
Yeah, honey. I'm getting something different.
I can taste the honey from the mead.
Okay, well, you know, to preface it, though, we because all that mead talk, we dipped into the mead supply and had a couple of belts of mead. And I don't know. I think maybe at the very last finish, I'm getting a tiny little bit of the mead. Not too much.
And you aren't, when you take a sip, after you swallow, kind of take a little breath through your nose and exhale through your nose and see if you don't taste that licorice.
I see what you're talking about. Yeah, there is kind of that like anise sort of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you don't get that, Rick?
No.
Okay,
I think the first couple of sips, this is very similar to the first one. It took me a half a glass.
Oh, it's nowhere near sour.
To get comfortable with drinking, and after a first few sips of this, I'm getting comfortable with it.
Of course, we might have racked our palates all to hell and back drinking that first one, that face twister. But no, I mean, I'm better with it now, and now I am getting more honey notes on it and from the mead.
Yeah,
It's just one of those things. These are just not beers. It's probably not a really good idea to do a taste comparison, which makes me wonder, after 140 of them at the Mead Fest, how the hell would you know?
I don't know.
I mean, what?
I was very impressed by the judges because they really took their time. They would take one flight of mead, and you know, it would take them the better part of the morning.
Now, how many different styles?
2 hours, 3 hours.
Is there different styles of mead? I mean, do you?
Oh, sure. There's Piment. There's
Yellow Jacket.
Still and Petulant.
Bumblebee.
It just goes on and on and on. Because, you know, Wasp. It depends on whether you blend it. Like, if you
Hornet.
Blend it with a...
In Mississippi, they got that special one. Dirt Dauber.
Paper Wasp.
Guys, I'm trying to be slightly educational here. You can blend your mead with...
don't forget about the all-popular sweat mead.
That's a goaty taste there, right? Smells like feet and armpit. Okay, sorry, Rick.
Okay, back to being serious.
I don't even know. All right, so if you take and blend it with grapes, it's one thing. If you take and blend it with fruit, it's another thing.
Yeah, I heard you say piment. What's a piment?
Yeah, I wish you wouldn't ask me that.
No, wait a minute. You said you can blend it with grapes?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I thought mead had that was just like honey, period.
No.
Oh, you blend it with stuff, huh? I mean, obviously, we have mead and mead de goose right here. So, like, what would be a typical blend? Which sounds kind of interesting because, I mean, drinking this mead, of course, I only got the one here to compare. It's got a lot of sweetness to it. It's something you cannot, and Mike made the mistake of taking a big swig of it. It is not a swigger. It's a sipper. So I can see where you could cut it with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I was waiting. You know, the table behind me, it was the beer and mead blends. And I was waiting all day to taste them. And then I finally got to taste them. And they didn't really strike me. I mean, to me, mead ought to be blended with... fruit or grapes to make wine. Or what I really liked were the spiced ones, you know, because they had some Christmassy type meads. And then I had one, not at the mead festival, but prior to that, that was in the bourbon barrel. And that was fantastic. That was out of Chicago.
Bourbon barrel mead.
Mead.
Oh, man. I can just imagine.
That
well,
sounds good.
I just blended mead the goose. With about an ounce and a half of mead, I topped mine up, and that helped me a lot. It tastes a lot less like feet now. No, I mean, it was okay.
What, it tastes like a foot instead of feet?
Well, you know, it's coming from the goose.
Yeah, just
the meat,
a couple
right?
of toes. No, I think my favorite goose was this first one, the goose de Girardin. But... Now, I think, Rick, I think our mead might have gone a little south on us because we were getting some taste. You said you were not getting. Not that it was bad. It was just after that first one, that's what I kind of had. I was looking for that the tartness and acidity. And so now, yeah. Now, this is interesting. It says, I kept looking over at the aroma, and it says a very mild oak aroma is considered favorable, an enteric, smoky, cigar-like, or cheesy aroma is unfavorable, and I think that's where ours went. Just a little bit. It had no funk on the bottle, but, you know, so I dumped some mead in mine, and it's all good in the mead hood.
Well, certainly go to the BJCP and check out meads. I mean, there's Hydromels and Melomels and you know, all sorts of different names that you can become aware of. And they're actually talking about breaking that out and creating its own mead judging style so that dumbass beer judges don't try and compare beer to mead, you know.
But this is in the BJCP?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no idea. I mean, I know I've seen at some of the shows and things that we've gone to, you got dude over in the corner making mead. And you got cider dude. And then all the rest are making beer. So this I guess in the beer world is kind of a little niche thing, but in the mead world, it's what everybody's doing, right?
Right.
Hey, so, Rick, I saw where there's a website called gotmead.com.
Right, and I met those people.
Really?
Yes. Wow. The webmaster is kind of a funky chick. She wears, you know, 70s-style glasses and one of those little hats. I can't describe that hat, but, you know, I did meet those people.
So where's a hat? There. One of them hat-wearing girls.
What? You would know the look if I could accurately describe it as one of those,
like the Annie Hall thing.
No, like the little leathered hats, maybe three different colors of
Greek
leather.
Fisherman hat. Oh, the little patchwork quilt leather hat.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay. No.
So a beer and a mead is called a braggot.
A braggot.
Braggot.
Okay. A beer and a mead is called a braggot. I want to tell you, I've heard that here recently. Somebody said that. I don't know where.
Oh, that was Harrington talking about his haters calling him bigots.
Braggot. Bigot. Yeah. Braggot. Okay. You just invoked Memphis politics. You know we have to rule against
that. I'm sorry. 50
Mike,
lashes.
Go sit in the corner for 3 minutes.
50 lashes with a wet noodle.
Man, I'll tell you what. Adding mead to this Mead the Goose really jacked it up for me.
Was it good?
It was real good. You ought to, if you're having a little trouble, but just top it up a little bit. That's a nice blend. Now, Rick, the Braggot is, you said beer, but is there a certain type? I would think one more malty would be a little more preferable. Although if you added the mead to a hoppy beer, it'd kind of take the edge off, wouldn't it?
No, it's whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, we just added it to the Mead the Goose, so you kind of cuts the pucker a bit and gives you a nice... you feel free to hold that book closer to the microphone. I don't mind you flipping pages. You go right ahead.
Well, I want the crowd to think we're doing something besides just talking. You know?
The crowd. Both of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'll tell you what. This isn't like last show. I mean, God. There were so many people in here. It was just crazy. But that was so we're trying to get back on.
Hey, you pay for quality. Okay?
That's right. We're not doing as good as we should trying to get back on topic and everything. But we're having some nice beers. And we got some more nice hot monkey love coming up.
That mead did the trick.
You put the little mead.
Yeah, just a touch. I mean,
Rick, you got some mead there?
I have tons of mead here.
You ought to pour a little, pour just about a half to an ounce into your lambic. Oh, man. It's I don't know what you call it. If that fits the braggot, I'm liking that. It's a nice little cocktail. I like the idea. So the idea of adding mead, and this says 30% mead, 70% malt beverage. I think I like it the other way around.
Yeah, it took the edge off.
70% mead and 30% lambic. You know what it reminds me of, Rick? The Russian River, the Damnations and the Salvations.
Right, that's not surprising because he likes to put bugs in his beer.
He does, and he does with wine. He puts them in wine barrels and stuff. So this is kind of along those lines. It's very nice, very classy. So we got some hot monkey love, speaking of classy. And this is one of the songs when I talk to the guys, and I'm hoping that I'll talk to them to cut a little bit about the band into this show. We've corresponded but haven't talked yet. And so this is a Stax song, originally done by Ann Peebles, later done in the 80s by Paul Young. And this is Hot Monkey Love's take on I'm Gonna Tear Your Playhouse Down.
Think you got it all set up. You think you got the perfect plan to charm every boy you see and play with everyone that you can. But I got news for you. I hope it won't hit you too hard. One of these days, while you're at play, I'm gonna get your gun. I'm gonna tear your playhouse down. Pretty soon,
is just fun and games. Trying to be a playgirl. All you do is run around using hearts for bait toys. One day and see your playhouse tumbling down. I'm gonna tear your playhouse down. Pretty soon I'm gonna tear your playhouse down. Room by room, yeah, I got to tear.
For you guys, he won't mention us by name. I know that.
They don't know when you're.
Well, thank God. I'm rather surprised they even remembered us. We've only met him one time.
Sounds
you know,
good.
So
you are the future of podcasting.
Can I hear us?
Ha!
So what we're doing, I love it. Is we're listening to Rick talking to Justin.
No, that's real nice. Because he really can drive a lot
Davis
of listeners.
On the
listeners.
So they can hear us. Now, they don't know we're
sure.
Listening.
Sure. We kind of said we thought it was a big compliment. I mean, to get those kind of accolades from them because, you know.
They're talking about the Brewing Network.
They don't normally give out those kind of those kind of positive remarks that often.
He doesn't give out anything.
It's because they're
but you're still a douche.
Oh yeah. Oh, of course. Always.
Okay. So they don't know we're listening. This is like that Folgers commercial. We secretly switched.
So what are you drinking tonight?
Here they are talking
we're
about the board. Coffee.
We got meat squeeze,
goozy.
Or Angus Girardine.
Okay, cool.
And now we've got a Rogue Fathead Ale. And I'm drinking a Anonymous Mead.
What is the Fathead Ale?
That's a bar in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Thanks for asking, $2.
And apparently they contracted
they
Rogue to brew and bottle some beer.
They can't hear us. I know.
Okay. What style of beer is it?
We'll just turn the microphones on and let them hear the podcast.
Yeah. I never heard of it.
It's got Great Western Two-Row Ale, Great Western Crystal 60, Willamette Hops UK Kent Golding, and Amarillo. Hmm. Nice. And Pac-Man Yeast.
So it sounds like a pale ale or an IPA, depending on the IBUs. Cool.
What do you think about this one? Hey, while y'all are chatting, we're drinking the Flanders Blonde.
Oh!
Yeah, what do you think about that, Justin?
Yeah, I think you're really brave. That's a good old Franklin, Tennessee lactobacillus right there.
Ooh, mama. That's good. I'm liking this.
Now, that was good podcast audio. We should have had that.
We did. Yeah, we got it. we're giving you shit. You have no idea. We got you guys while y'all were talking about all those beers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Listen to our show to find out. Justin, tell us about the Flanders Blonde.
Well, the Flanders Blonde is a beer that was not supposed to be a Flanders Blonde. It was a... this is a really sad story because it was, I made a pact with myself that for 2008, at least 50% of the beers that I brewed, I was going to come up with a recipe myself because I've always looked at other people's recipes and all that. So I thought, you know, that's what I'll do. So my first one in 08 was a pale ale, just a basic pale ale, kind of trying to get off on a good foot in 2008. Well, it turned out rather unimpressive as a pale ale. There wasn't the hopping kind of sucked, and you know, with hop prices like they are, you know, it's not very surprising. But anyway, but I was, you know, committed to drinking it, and I was fine with drinking it. I hadn't touched it, though, in about 3 weeks, and I came back to it about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, put a little party tap on it, and poured some out, and it about knocked me over. And I don't know what happened. It was just a pale ale that just went bad. But the thing about it is it's actually kind of drinkable in a way. I mean, in a sour beer kind of way, in small quantities. It doesn't taste just nasty infected. It actually kind of has a cool sour note to it.
I'm not going to wake up with a third eye tomorrow, am I?
No, and I'm liking this. I have, he told me about this right at PodCamp. We ran into Justin at PodCamp.
Yeah, I can't hear anybody.
That's because I muted you.
Yeah, we muted you so we could talk a little bit.
Nice, thanks.
My cogs. Look at
okay. That man's got a voice for podcasting.
He does.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. So we're drinking Justin's and obviously having some Skype technical issues and fighting our way through this. But the Flanders Blonde, this is because we've had the goose and stuff. We're kind of in that sour vein. Now, I like this. I think this is like a nice blend of malt and sour. I'm liking this. Okay. So, Justin.
Yeah.
This is bathroom yeast, right?
It's bathroom yeast? Yeah, I think that's what it said on the packet, actually.
I mean, the wild stuff.
No, man, I think that's US 56.
No, you had something go south and get in there.
Yeah, something went way bad. I don't know if it was something in the keg or something. I don't know. I have no idea. So, maybe some cat hair got in there.
Cat hair yeast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a funky called Medina.
It's the Bretto Kitty Catus.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to call it when I put it in a competition.
Now, you said this is pretty good in small quantities, you know, drinkable in small quantities. I'm not going to wake up with a third eye or anything like that tomorrow, Emma.
I hope you might. Well, I did. I just scoop it back out with a spoon. It'll heal over. But yeah.
Brother. Okay, well, we're going to have to call you. We're going to call you back, Justin, because this is getting difficult to fight myself. One of me is winning.
The wrong one.
But this is great stuff, though. I'm enjoying this immensely.
Oh, good, yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad. Enjoy my accent. I got a keg of it I'll send to you.
Yeah. Hey, man, I always say I'd rather be lucky than good.
That's very true. Very true.
All right, well, Justin, thanks for the beer. We're going to catch back up with you and do this Skype right once we figure out how to work the knobs. Yeah, we'll holler back at you because this is good. We didn't have this problem before. We'll figure it out.
All righty.
Thanks, Justin.
Cool. See y'all.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, so our apologies for the Skype madness there. So we've done this before. Yeah. It just went horribly wrong.
Ever had two people Skype in, though?
Yeah. We just, you know, some voodoo. Who knows? But, hey, what the hell? You know, you didn't pay for this.
That's right.
So, yeah, you can't take bitch. It and you'll like it.
Yeah. Actually, we'll give you your money back.
That's right. Double your money back. Whatever you paid for this podcast, we're giving you double that back. It was good. It was really good, though, to have Justin call in because Justin is a really good home brewer. He's all up in it. And he never, ever talks about this on davisondraft.com.
Mm-hmm. So, and he's the future of podcasting.
He is. He is. He has a face for podcasting. he's a good guy. And, we had a good time with him in Nashville, and he gave us his Flanders Blonde. And I got to tell you, he's really downplaying it, but I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a...
We had a good time with them in Denver, too, during GABF.
Yeah, GABF. So, you know, it's nice to have all of our beer cast friends join us, and especially when they give us beer.
Right. Free beer.
So this one fit in with the show, and I promised them we'd call. And so, again, apologies for the shit audio. But, again.
Shit happens.
Yeah, shit happens, and you're not paying for this anyway.
That's right.
So don't
I got it. One thing to say.
Yes, sir.
Chill out, man. Have a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why don't we have our next beer which it was funny because Mike and I are just like recording and listening to y'all. Y'all have already covered our next beer. Oh, here's the hop. Here's the grain bill. The Rogue Fatheads. And this, we were talking about this, and I was talking to Steve, our distributor. I said, does Rogue do private label? He says, yeah, if you got enough money.
Whoa.
Yeah. Budweiser do private label, yeah, if you got enough money. But so they had to shell out some dough for this. And have you already popped the top? Is that what I just heard?
Yes, it is. And okay. It is guggling away. And this is from our friend Sick Puppy from shouldidrinkthat.com.
Yeah, that's a good fellow there. Sick Puppy has hooked us up, sent us multiple samples of Fathead. And as always, we appreciate Should I Drink That. And you know what? We neglected to mention, if you want to hear all of the podcasts that you've heard us refer to and more, including some that really, really suck, might be us. Go to
Except
Davis on Draft. They don't suck. Well, the Brew Nation has told us they don't suck. Go to beersafari.com, and Davis on Draft is our newest addition to beersafari.com.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, they're on there,
well,
too.
Welcome aboard.
Beer out there. Yeah. Damn, that was scary. It's just like I was in deepest, darkest Africa right then.
That hot monkey love.
Hey, speaking of hot monkey love, if you would grab the Fathead Ale, let me regale you with a couple of tidbits about hot monkey love. Now, hot monkey love is a New York blues band. And you don't really think of blues when you think of New York City.
But, New York City?
New York City? But these guys were founded by Frankie Spider LaRocca, who was an A&R guy for record labels. He also played with a bunch of bands. I believe he was with Scandal back in the day. And so these guys, Mike is like looking at one of the CDs. He says, damn, how many people are in this band? There's like 12 people. And the thing is, these are session guys that are drop in and play with them, and they have got a who's who. Anthony Creason, Earl Slick, a bunch of people just dropping in to want to play with Hot Monkey Love. And if you, I don't know how up you are on your musicians, but Earl Slick's played with David Bowie, and he was on the Let's Dance tour, all that. That's Earl playing there. And Anthony played with... Damn, it's escaped me now. I'll have to go back and find it. But everybody in there with Hot Monkey Love is pitched in there, and they got some really good sounds. You heard, you know, real soul sounds coming out of them. And we got a couple more tracks, Hot Monkey Love, that we're going to play. And who knows, man? We got to go. Hopefully, we'll hear from the band and feature them a little more because they're our new favorite band. Just because any band named Hot Monkey Love.
Gotta be good.
If but,
I played instrument, I'd want to play for them.
I'd want to play a hot monkey just to see how it sounded.
For the love.
For the love. What kind of love can you get from a hot monkey? So Mike's over there gently dissecting the Fathead. Go ahead. You've made all this noise. Just bring it out.
What the heck is he doing? He's kind of like rattling around back there.
So we got our bomber of Fatheads. And Ricky and Justin were talking earlier about the grain bill on this guy. And, man, it's got a little bit of everything in it, doesn't it? And hops, grain and hops. It sounds
well, these are kind of like Rogue's Warehouse grains, Great Western Two Row Pale, Great Western Crystal 60. That's their standard. And then, obviously, the Pac-Man yeast, that's their proprietary yeast. Willamette and East Kent Golding and Amarillo hops. It's got some pretty good hops in it. So 35 IBU, that's not too overpowering. It's not like the 100% IBU that you get with some of the Imperial Pale Ales. But
now, have you swallowed any of this yet? It pours
I have.
It pours a big head. I got like a 3-finger head. Mike's got like a 7-finger
head. He's would that be a big foamy head?
It's a big old foamy head.
He poured it straight down the middle.
Yeah, he's pouring it straight down. He's trying to, he's from the school that you pour it straight down the middle, it aerates the beer more.
Somebody should start a podcast, good. Big Foamy Head.
You think? It never worked. But But, man, nice little smell, kind of malty smell to it. And 35 is a low, so I'm wondering about this because I was talking again to our distributor about we got a couple of private label beers in town from Abita, as it turns out. Abita will make a private label for anybody. But Rogue, I was really impressed that it came from Rogue. And, of course, when you get something from Rogue, you want their name on it, whereas if you get something from elsewhere, you don't. You want your name on it. So this is Rogue Fatheads Ale, only available if you, you know, send a $20 to Sick Puppy, or you go to Fatheads, is it Fatheads Tavern or Fatheads Restaurant in Pennsylvania? But, oh, there you go. Not a little swallow.
I don't know, but you should certainly go to shouldidrinkthat.com.
Absolutely.
A podcast, in case you didn't realize it. And,
one of our favorites.
Sick Puppy and Spoon, Father Spoon.
And Sister Lushly, on occasion.
And Sister Lushly.
Lushly?
Yeah, I've had a few. I've lost my L's.
I think you got a couple of extras, actually.
It says here, brewed especially for Fathead's Saloon, Pittsburgh.
All right, this is what I'm getting out of this beer.
My question is, how'd they get my picture on the label?
All right, I ain't going there. I can see a little bit with the stash.
I got more hair than the dude.
You do have more hair than the dude, and you got you don't have near as much chin.
You know, you kind of look like that night we did all that barbecue.
That's what I'm thinking.
Now this is this beer has a lot of biscuit sort of taste to it, but it finishes with a little bit of hop. This is a you know, for what we've been drinking, of course, our palates are probably totally trashed from the Mead the Goose, the Goose Girardin, and of course the ever popular Flanders Blonde, Justin's experiment gone horribly awry.
The Frankenstein beer.
The Frankenstein from Franklin. Oh, man. Now, this is a... I'm getting a lot of biscuit and that caramel. And what was the malts on here? Caramel, let's see, Great Western Two Row Pale, Great Western Crystal 60 malt. That's what it is, that 60.
It's a real simple malt bill.
Yeah, but
I mean, that's nothing. Yeah.
But 60s is like getting a little toast to the malt, right? Because 20s is the typical base malt. So it's got a little bit of biscuit, a little bit of toast to it. It's nice. It's a good drinking beer.
Yeah, I like it.
I think this would go, if you were serving this in a restaurant, this would go with a lot of foods. It wouldn't really crowd out the flavors. It's not an overpowering, overwhelming beer. I think this would be good. I kind of like that finish there at the end. Kind of a nice little toasty finish.
I'd love to know what the cross-section between our listeners and the people that actually go to Fatheads is.
Okay, so if we take the volume of people who go to Fatheads, transpose that with the cross-section of Big Foamy Head listeners, how many would we arrive at?
What is the union of those two sets?
That's right, the juxtaposition of the two, the delta point, if you will, of those.
Would that be the crust of the biscuit is the apostrophe?
The crust of the biscuit. I believe it's the muffin top.
No, I think it's the derivative of the first tangent.
I think it's the flyback transformer. But you got to be careful of that cosine wave. I think it equals out to be about 1.5. But that's only a Sick Puppy went to Fatheads that night.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's
with the pregnant woman.
With a pregnant woman. That's
the half.
That's the half. The little zygote listener there.
Sick Puppy, here's your challenge. Find a pregnant woman and go to Fatheads.
Or if you want to really up the ante, find a woman and impregnate her.
There you go. That'd be a lot more fun.
Amen to that.
Now, this is a nice beer. Thanks again to Sick Puppy for sending this and Justin for the Flanders Blonde, because we were going to call this Other People's Beer Show. But Rick said, what are we going to drink all these damn goose that we can? All right.
I still want to call them Gweezes.
Gweezes? Gweezes. Yeah. Gweezy?
Gweeze me.
I got your gweezy. So what do you say we just take a departure from all this seriousness and Bring back the beer haiku.
All right, cue the music. This is in remembrance of Valentine's Day, which is shortly past February 14th. Captain Hops wrote this and is on Beer Haiku Daily. Subject is love. Rogue chocolate stout and chocolate dipped strawberries. She knows I love her. Beer Haiku.
Yeah. Class culture.
I can dig it.
You were getting into it there. I heard the goose talking there.
I was waiting on that hot monkey love.
The hot monkey love. That's right.
I got to find those corks. They're all over my garage.
We need to compose a haiku for that, right? I bit her over the fence. Gently, as I said, get ready for the hot monkey love.
Pushing my love through the fence.
I think that was 7, 12, and 14. It's my own version of haiku. Okay. We're winding up the, God, what a train wreck.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to, like, come back from the last show and, like, be all prepared. And
The mead did it, man.
It was the mead. The mead, the goose.
The goose.
All right, so let's recap. We started off with a goose, a Gérard Dan.
1882.
The
37.5 centiliters.
Yeah, it was.
And that's my favorite of the night.
Yeah, I thought that was a great start. I mean, the funk on the neck worried me.
Yeah.
But it didn't come through. It was very twang. Yeah. Oh, gosh. And then we went to Mead the Goose, which smelled like feet to me. Yeah. Rick got a different, totally different vibe off the bottle. And Rick, you were enjoying that, right?
I was all over it, yeah.
I loved it. So Rick was getting his happy ending from Mead the Goose, and Mike and I had to go and get into the mead to cut it and really jack it up, and that was probably a mistake on our part.
It made it good, but
had its way with us. And then joined by our friend Justin Davis from Davis on Draft and exploring the nuances of Skype and how badly you can screw up a podcast, and the Flanders Blonde. Very interesting beer. I was really enjoying it. And he's being apologetic about it.
For a mistake, it wasn't that bad.
For a mistake, yeah. I thought it went very nice. Mm-hmm. And glad to have Justin on. And then our last beer of the evening, the Rogue Fatheads. A nice, toasty, biscuity finish to all of it. Not a twang beer at all. And I thought it went down real good.
I had an anonymous mead. From the mead festival. So.
It tastes like mead?
It tastes like mead. Okay. Looks like mead.
Smells like mead?
Totally anonymous.
Must be
it
mead.
It wasn't sweat bee mead, was it?
Yeah. Dirt diver mead.
For all I know, it's a gold medal winner. I don't know. It could be.
And this Rogue's got Rick on the label.
Yeah.
That's right.
Be sure to go to Fatheads. It looks like Rick after day four at the barbecue contest.
There you go.
And Sick Puppy will be taking a pregnant woman to the Fatheads Brewery so that...
Yeah.
Or Fatheads Bar.
No, a soon-to-be pregnant woman. We've thrown
so
down the gauntlet.
So he can fulfill our cross-section.
That's right. He's got to get our demographics up by successfully impregnating a woman in Fatheads. Okay. On the pool table, preferably.
And then we need a video.
Yeah, we need video footage. And I'd tell you, he's up for this.
He would be.
I have no doubt. He is up for the challenge.
He would not shy away from that at all.
But not at all.
But there won't be any women that are up.
He'll probably be hollering at us and waving when he does the money shot, too. Hey, look, I'm doing it.
Be sure to check out shouldidrinkthat.com.
And all of the other fine podcasts on BeerSafari.com.
And look up Davis on Draft.
And, we're
future of podcasting.
That's right, the future of podcasting. That's it, because we're sure as hell running it for the rest of us.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of douchebags anyway.
That's right, we're douchebags and damn proud of it. So, let's call it a show. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back to see us.
No!
Don't mean tomorrow, baby, I mean right now. Come on, come on, come on, shame her, baby. I said, baby, come on, shame.